Well, hey, welcome to Crosspoint. So good to have you here with us today as we are looking at this movie, Mulan. You know, this is the last weekend of the series At the Movies 8. And here's one thing that I'm so excited about. Is this is a movie that actually just came out. I mean, we're not looking at a movie that came out back in March. We're not looking at a movie that came out in January. No, this movie came out last Friday night. And I just want to ask real quick, how many of you have watched this movie already? Anybody here in the room? Anybody watching at home? You know, maybe you've already caught this. This is a really, really great movie, and I'm so glad that you guys are here to join us while we talk about this here today. My name is Chris. We haven't had a chance to meet yet. One of the pastors here at Crosspoint. So good to have you guys here. You know, how many of you have enjoyed the last 6 weeks? Anybody here enjoyed the last 6 weeks? Anybody actually go home and watch any of these movies? Yeah, several of you, I'm sure. Some of you at home, just the same. You know, my wife and I, we've gone and we've watched a couple of these movies. You know, we love this series. We love this series every single year. And so today, we're going to take a stab at this movie, Mulan. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, okay, Chris, like I already know this movie. I mean, this movie, it's a Disney classic. I mean, it came out in 1998, right? Of course, it's going to be the exact same. Well, hold your horses, because this movie, this is not your like 1998 Disney movie, all right? This is PG-13 Mulan, and this isn't, don't worry, like it's not rated R. I mean, it's not going to go all the way there, but they're not going to be singing all the songs. I mean, this is a really, really good movie, but it's a little bit different than the last one, and this movie was actually, it was supposed to come out back in March. I mean, it actually says March 27th right there. Do you guys remember what was happening March 27th? Like, I think we were probably all locked down in our houses at that point. Like, we all know what happened back in March. And so Disney, when this movie was supposed to come out, they had to kind of grapple with how to release a movie in the midst of a global pandemic. And so it was put on pause and it went straight to on demand. Like I said, came out last Friday night. And it's really a great movie. I want to encourage you to check this out. It's definitely, though, not a screen for screen remake of the classic. I mean, it's not exactly that way. It's got a little bit of tweaks. But if you know the story, if you know the story of the original Mulan, you kind of know the gist of it. If you haven't seen it, if you don't remember, let me catch you up. So Mulan, she's a young girl growing up in rural Imperial China, and she's adventurous and strong. She's a little out there. She's got this wild spirit about her, really much to the dismay of her mother. You see, her mother hopes that eventually, she'll kind of come to her senses and be able to marry just a nice man. I mean, that's all that her mom wants for her. And as she grows up, she grapples with this decision, right? This decision to continue down this path that potentially will lead to shame and dishonor and maybe even exile from her people, or to hide her true self and to bring honor to her family. And she's told that the best way to bring honor is to hide her gift and to silence its voice. That really, that's the only way that she can do this. And around that time, around this time she's growing up, the kingdom of China is coming under attack from these invaders from the north. And it's led by this guy named Borakan. And because of this attack, because of the potential of this national downfall, the emperor of China, he releases this conscription decree that every single family must send one man to fight in the imperial army. And Mulan's father, he was a war hero in his day, but his day has come and passed. He's no longer able to fight. And it really leaves Mulan with this one choice. And she decides to disguise herself as a man and to join the people's army to save her father's life, but also to save the kingdom. She makes this choice knowing full well that if found out, she faces exile, but maybe even worse, she faces death. And it's a really great story. I really want to honestly recommend this movie. It's a great movie because it's a story that shares about finding your voice, about stepping up, about making tough decisions in the face of what seem like immeasurable odds, which is actually exactly what I want to talk about here tonight. You see, when we look back on this year, when we look back on 2020, you know, we can all see the tough decisions that had to be made all throughout this year. We can see the ways in which we thought this year was going to pan out, and then the way that it actually panned out. I mean, we may have thought 2020 was going to be our year. I mean, we maybe thought this was going to be the year we were going to make all these decisions, we were going to take steps forward, things were going to happen. And then, well, March happened. And whether it was changes at work, you know, maybe you thought things were going to come through for you and that got the axe as soon as this all went down. Maybe it was relationally. Maybe it was with a significant other. Maybe it was in your marriage. Maybe it was in a dating relationship. Maybe you had big plans to take a step in a new direction. Maybe it was to just get healthier. Maybe it was to take some steps in your health, in your fitness. And then, well, quarantine happened, and then the quarantine 15 happened, right? I mean, maybe it was in the relationship with your kids. You know, maybe you thought, this is going to be the year. We're going to be really intentional this year. Everyone is kind of on autopilot, and then these routines set into place. You're kind of coasting, and then everything gets locked down, right? I mean, you throw everybody back into the house. You lock the doors. Everybody's in there trying to do school. You're trying to work, and you are just trying to survive at this point. And you're just trying to keep the wheels from falling off. Today, we're going to look at a story of another young woman whose life has taken a turn. And it's really due to no fault of her own, but it's also taken to a point where she's at a breaking point. And she has to make some tough decisions. And what's cool about this woman in this story is her life, it actually has a lot of parallels with the life of Mulan. You know, different century, different kingdom, but same props. So Esther is who we're going to look at today. Esther, she belongs to a period of time known as the Babylonian exile. And the Babylonian exile, it's where the Jewish people were hauled off into foreign lands as slaves. And this time specifically, they're in the nation of Persia. And the story that this city is set in is called Susa, which is one of the capitals of Persia at this time. And it's during the reign of this really famous king from a movie. I think maybe you recognize this guy. It's not that king. It's actually this king. I mean, it's this guy. You guys remember this guy named Xerxes? Yeah, from that movie 300. This was a real guy. And this is a real story from history, 4th century BC, all the way back. This king Xerxes had decided in this story that he's done with his wife. He's ready for a new one. He's done with the queen. I mean, kings, right? I mean, they just kind of get to decide. And so he decides, I'm done with her. I'm ready for a new one. And so some Jews in the land, they had returned back to their homeland, but others, we're still right there in Persia. And as a minority group that was living in exile, they were viewed with suspicion and they faced threats to their existence. And so oftentimes they would hide their true identity. Now I'm going to catch you up real quick and then we'll jump into the story. So all of these women from throughout all of the land, they're brought to the king so they could potentially become the next queen of King Xerxes. And Mordecai is this guy. He's actually Esther's uncle who decides, you know what, Esther, I think this could be a really good thing for you. I think that you need to jump into this opportunity. This is kind of like a beauty pageant. Like, Esther, I think you can win. I think you need to do this. This would be a really good thing. And so Esther becomes one of these young women that's vying for the title to become the next queen to King Xerxes. And she wins. She eventually wins over the king. She becomes that next queen. And things, they're just going swimmingly. I mean, things are going perfectly until this one guy named Haman jumps onto the scene. Now Haman, he's the second in command in the kingdom. I mean, he's a big deal. He's someone that he had some sway. I mean, he could make some decisions. And things happened when Haman said they should happen. And Haman actually decides, he's done with the Jews. I mean, he's got it all bent out that it's this people group that are causing all of our problems. And you know what? We would all be better off if we could just rid ourselves of the Jews. And so he concocts this plan to have them all killed. And it's at this moment that Esther's uncle Mordecai, he gets word of what's kind of going around. He gets word of this story, of this idea that Haman has of getting rid of all of the Jews. And he gets word to his niece, to Queen Esther. And when Mordecai, when he learns of these plans, he decides that Esther is maybe the only person who can help? And so Esther, she's pushed right into the center stage. He sends word to the queen, letting her know what's happening, that she needs to throw herself in front of the king and reveal who she really is. And that may sound easy, but it was actually way harder than it sounds. You see, Esther, she knew that anyone who approached the throne of the king without being invited was immediately killed. Immediately killed. There was no option here. There was no way that she could do this. And yet Mordecai, her uncle, is asking her that you've got to do this. You absolutely, there's no other option here. You've got to do this. So we'll pick up the story right here. This is Esther 4:13. This is what it says. Mordecai, he sent this reply to Esther. He says, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace that you will escape when all of the other Jews are killed. You see, Mordecai right here, he's pretty well convinced, like, this isn't going to go well for anybody, including you, Queen Esther. Like, this is just not going to go well. And he decides the only hope that the Jews have of survival is for Queen Esther to do something, to have an opportunity to get in front of the king and tell him about who she really is. But not only that, the decree that Haman had put out there was actually signed by the king's signet ring. I mean, there was no going back on this. There was no other option. And it's at this moment that Queen Esther, she faces a tough decision. And Xerxes, he doesn't know about her Jewish heritage. She had hidden it from the very beginning, and she had kept it secret all along. And Mordecai, he just continues on. He's like, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews, it will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows? If perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. You see, what's worse about this entire situation is Queen Esther, she has no way of communicating this to the king. Like I said earlier, I mean, there's no way of walking directly in to the king's chambers. There's only one thing that could possibly happen, is if the king holds out his golden scepter. And so Esther decides she's just going to go for it. And there's this moment right near the middle of the movie in Mulan where she's faced with a choice to make. And it's one that's really similar to that of Esther's. You know, it really could be the very last decision that she ever makes. She finds herself having been exiled from camp, and it's here that she encounters this witch. And like I said earlier, I mean, this isn't your Eddie Murphy version of, you know, the old Disney classic, right? I mean, Mushu's not about to show up. No, there's like a witch happening. Like, it's a little different than the classic, but hang with me here. It's right here in this moment where we see the paths of both of these women kind of converge here. And you saw it in the trailer just a few minutes ago that the witch, she tells Mulan, she says, when they find out who you are, they will not show you mercy. You see, Mulan, she faces this choice of life and of death. To return to the camp and to warn them of the invading army, the ones that just sent her into exile. Does she go back to them? Or does she just continue to hide and run from her true identity and just hope that it works out on its own? It's the same choice that Esther's facing right here. This one final attempt to save her people, or to continue to just hide her identity and hope that it works out on its own. When Hannah and I bought our first house, we'd only been married just about a year and a half, and I was a young kid. I had obviously never owned a home before. I didn't really know what that even looked like. And I was faced with a decision here really early on that I think is somewhat similar to here. Now I wasn't dealing with, you know, the eventual downfall of an entire people group. I wasn't dealing with, you know, a kingdom being invaded and me having to make any decisions like that. No. It's nothing like that. But it was a moment where I had to look and I had to decide, man, I've got to take an action here. I can't just sit and hope that it all works out on its own. Have you ever had a moment like that? Where you look around and you see that it was up to you to take action? You see, I was in a battle. I was in a battle against dandelions in our front yard. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody? Yeah, okay, a couple of you. See, I didn't know how to do landscaping. I didn't know. I mowed the grass, but we had a riding lawnmower when I was a kid, and that's really all I did. That's all I was trusted with. You see, for me, this isn't, well, that's basically what our lawn looked like. And we lived on this cul-de-sac with, there were some older homes, which meant that our neighbors were, I won't say old, but they were a little bit older than we were. And their lawns were just perfect, just perfectly manicured. And then they see these young kids move in next door. And then spring happens, and then summer happens, and then this is, well, what my lawn looks like right next to theirs. And I'm out there just trying to figure out, like, I don't even know what to do here. No one's ever told me how to fix this. And I'm in a battle. I mean, I've got to make a decision here. And it got so bad at one point. I was coaching soccer at the time. I came home from soccer practice one time. And my next door neighbor, great guy. His name was Jim, really sweet guy. He's in his 80s. And I pull up to my house. And Jim is mowing my lawn because the weeds were so bad. And he said, I mean, it wasn't this, well, maybe it was that bad. I don't quite know. You see, I didn't know what I was doing. And I don't think, Jim said it was just because he was trying to be nice and he was just already out there. I think it was probably something else. You see, I had a decision to make, right? And no, it wasn't about the downfall of a kingdom. But I had to do something. I couldn't just wait around and hope that it was just going to work out on its own. And honestly, for some of us right now, it's that same choice that we find ourselves having to make, right? I mean, do we just hide? Do we just hope that it just kind of figures it out on its own? But you see, history, it shows us that these interruptions, they have a way of changing us, right? And 2020, it's an interruption, isn't it? I mean, 2020, global pandemic, coronavirus, everybody working from home, social distancing, masks, all the things. This is an interruption. This is something we would have never dreamed. If someone will go back to you in, you know, 2019 and tell you all the things that had happened this year, you wouldn't believe them. I wouldn't believe them. But if you remember a few weeks ago, Kurt, he shared with us that all of the negative outcomes that we've seen with this coronavirus, what if we choose to look at it a little bit differently? You see, adversity has a way of weeding out, you know, no pun intended, what's wrong, and really clarifying what's important. And adversity, it creates this urgency that solves some of the biggest problems that we face in our world. I mean, let's be real, right? I mean, we're 6.5 months into this thing. You might have thought up until this point that everything would just kind of work itself out, right? But it hasn't done that. Maybe you thought this would be over by now, to be honest. I mean, I know some of you probably, when school went to e-learning all the way back in March and April, you probably never dreamed that school would start back up in August and that we'd find ourselves in September. Your kids are still doing e-learning. I mean, you would have never dreamed your job, that you're still sitting, you're still working at home while you've got kids in the background trying to figure out doing their own schoolwork. I mean, maybe things just haven't worked out the way that you thought that they would go. Maybe it's been a lot harder transition than you would have imagined. I mean, trying to work remotely, 3 kids in the background doing schoolwork. But let's dig into that a little bit more, because I think some of us, we just want to leave it at that level. But I think there's so much more to this. You see, maybe what this pandemic has shown you is something even bigger. And it's something that if you don't address it right now, you'll never turn around from it. Maybe this pandemic has brought about a level of exhaustion, of anxiety, of depression, of anger. And it's just spilling out on those all around you. Maybe it's your relationship with your kids. Maybe you thought that at this point, you know, you'd have all this time together. It'd be so sweet. You'd enjoy it. But now what you're realizing is you've stretched yourself way too thin for way too long. And there's no relationship there. Maybe you've been locked in your house with your wife, with your husband, with your partner for way longer than you would have ever guessed. Way longer than you've ever put towards your relationship ever before in the past. And maybe what you're realizing in this moment, in these last 6.5 months, is there's a lot more strife than there is love. Maybe you're beginning to see that you guys have been drifting for a while. You know, just slowly, taking steps away from one another. And if you don't do something right now, you're going to look back and realize you're just living with a roommate. You're not living with the love of your life, the one that you committed to have and to hold till death do you part. You see, Esther, she begins to look around. She begins to see the writing on the wall and decides that she's got to make a choice. And so she does. She decides to step out and to attempt to save her people. This is actually exactly what she says. Check this out. Esther says, if I must die, I must die. It's kind of like the statement Kirk Cousins made the other day. I don't know if you guys all saw this. NFL quarterback, probably not the brightest thing to say. He basically took these words and he said it again. But Esther, right here, this statement is made full of faith, full of confidence. You see, Esther, she knows full well that she is walking into a potential last decision that she will ever make. She knows what this means for her, but she's trusting the entire way. And I want to share something with you today that I hope will give you some hope. Something that maybe you've heard, maybe you've even thought before, but something that you probably haven't begun to put fully into practice. You see, the success of your family, your career, your marriage, your education, it's not entirely reliant on you. This should give you hope. This should remind you that God is still in control, that He will always be in control. It doesn't matter who's in charge. It doesn't matter who our world looks to, who our world celebrates. It doesn't matter any of those things, that God is still reigning and that His plans will still be accomplished. But will you be a part of them? Will you step up to lead? You see, God doesn't need us to accomplish His plans, but maybe the coolest part about following Jesus is He chooses to use us, chooses to use you, to use me. And He calls us to take part in these kingdom-sized dreams in the world. You see, what I don't want you to hear, what I don't want you to see when you read this, is I don't want you to immediately jump to complacency. I don't want you to read this and to think, all right, cool, I'm good. I've done all I can do. I'm just going to step back. God, I'm going to let you do the rest. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. You see, Mulan, she had to step out and reveal her true self. She had to return again to those same people that had just sent her into exile. Esther, she had to walk into the king's chambers, something that was never done. And here's what they knew. And here's what I think we need to learn ourselves. You see, it's actually one of our next steps this week. It's this, that we are all usable, but we have to choose to be useful. You see, Esther, she could have continued to just sit back. She could have just waited around. She could have just hoped that somebody else would do something, that it would all just kind of work out on its own. But she realized, through the help of her uncle Mordecai and his pushing, that God wanted her to step out, that God put her into a place of authority, into a position in order to further the kingdom. You see, we all have a place like this. You may not be a queen. You may not be the leader of an organization. You may not be an educator. I don't know where you are, but you have a place where God is calling you to do more. To step out, to stand up for what's right, to make a change. You know, you might not be a principal across the street. You might not be, the leader of a company. You might not be a business owner, but you might be a parent. You might be a friend. You're a son. You're a daughter. I mean, do not buy into the lie that you don't have something to add to the conversation. You have something. Don't just think, well, I'm just, no. Don't buy that. We all have something to move on. And so what is it for you? You know, what's that area of your life that's just colored in bright yellow highlighter because of 2020? For real, what is it? Is it your relationships? Is it your marriage? Is it your work-life balance? Is it time with your kids? Is it your health? I mean, what is it? What's that one area that's staring you in the face and asking you to take a step out? You see, this is your chance. This is your time to do it. To stop talking about it, stop thinking about it, but actually step out, find your voice, and speak up. The story of Esther, it turns out in her favor. She walks into the king's throne room, and he holds out that golden scepter, inviting her in. And he welcomes her to join him. And he's head over heels over this girl. I mean, he basically is like, hey, you know, Esther, Queen Esther, what's your request? I'll give you up to half of the entire kingdom. What do you have for me? I'll give it to you, whatever it is. And Esther, she's smart about this. I mean, she kind of knows how this whole thing is going to go. And she's kind of got a run of the place. And so she knows that there's just not some magic button that can be pushed that's going to reverse the decree that was said just weeks ago. And so she invites the king and Haman, the second in command, to join her at a banquet the next day. And now it's here where things start to go really bad for Haman. Check this out. This is what it says. So the king and Haman, they went to Queen Esther's banquet. And as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king, he again asked, he said, Queen Esther, what's your position? It will be given to you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. And the queen answered, she said, if I have found favor with you, and if it pleases you, would you grant me my life? This is my petition. Would you spare my people? This is my request. You see, the adversity of the situation that Queen Esther and all of her people were experiencing, it caused a level of urgency, an urgency that pushed the queen to limits that she never would have thought were possible on her own. But it was only because of the season that she would step out, that she would step up and lead in a way that she had never done before. And it's the adversity of this season that we find ourselves in that's created the urgency that I hope will begin to help you solve the biggest problems that you're facing in your life. You see, we all have been experiencing adversity over the last 6.5 months. And I hope that it's created an urgency in you to see what's really going on. To not just see it at face value, but to actually begin to face it. To take steps towards it. To make a change. To have a conversation. Whatever it might be. I hope that this season, that you wouldn't just brush past it. That you wouldn't just wish it for it to be over. But that you'd lean into it. That you'd see, what is God bringing to the forefront of my mind right now? Because you were created for more. And you see, the best part of this is you don't have to solve these problems alone. Remember, it's not entirely reliant on you. You see, you've got people in your corner that want to walk with you. It's actually, Kurt was just talking about small groups. It's one of the best parts about small groups. I've been a part of several small groups over the last couple of years here at Crosspoint. And let me tell you, community, you were created for it. You were created for community. Starting here in just a few weeks, we're going to give you another chance to dig into this community and to start making those necessary changes that you're maybe beginning to face right now. We'll be doing this deep dive, this annual 6-week journey, and it's called the Kingdom Experiment. And our goal is for each and every person here at Crosspoint to be connected into a small group. And we've got some, like Kurt said, that we've got about half of them right now that are meeting online. We've got half of them that are planning to meet in person. But we need so many more groups because we know the value of community. And so, would you host one? I mean, maybe you've never hosted a group before. We make it so easy for you to host a group. I mean, if you just know how to read, if you just know to start a conversation, you can lead a group. You can host one of these groups. And let me tell you, if you're looking for maximum growth, maybe this season has brought up a lot in you. Maybe this season has brought up things in your life that you just never thought would ever come up again, but maybe you're really facing them head on. Man, if you want maximum growth, host a group. Because there's just something different than just walking into a group and being a part of it than there is when you're hosting it. And I really want to encourage you, if you're looking for that maximum growth, would you host it? You don't need to have all the answers. You just need to be available. I want you to know just one last thing. If you continue to just sit back, if you continue to sit and to just hope that these things are just going to go away, that COVID's just going to magically disappear, that your kids are just going to easily jump back into the same rhythms of life, that you're going to walk back into your workplace 6 months from now, a year from now, and everything's just going to go back to the way it was, then I think you've wasted this season. Would we ever ask for it? No. But we can all grow in the midst of it. If you continue to sit back and just hope that someone else is going to do what God has called you to do, and you will watch someone else do the things that He wants for you. So would you do it? Would you step up? Would you step out? Would you have a hard conversation? Would you ask for help? Whatever it is that God is bringing to your mind right now, would you begin to make those necessary steps to make the changes that only you can be a part of? And I can promise you this, when you look back on COVID-19, when you look back on 2020, if you've done this, if you've allowed the adversity of the season to create the urgency needed for you to step out, man, you'll look back and you won't be sorry for doing it. Would you stand with me? I want to pray for you guys and we'll get out of here today. God, I know that in this season that every single one of us is experiencing some sort of adversity, is experiencing some sort of thing that has just maybe just hit us right in the chest. And we would have never guessed that it would be where we find ourselves today. But God, I ask that you would just bring it to the forefront of every single person's mind, whatever it is. And would you encourage them? Would you equip them? Would you equip every single one of us to step out, to ask for help, to lean into community? Because God, I know that when we do that, we won't look back and regret this season. Thank you, Jesus.